Matthew chapter 6, hear the word of the Lord. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. The grass withers and the flowers of the field fade away, but this is the word of God, and God's word stands forever. Let's look to the Lord as we call on him today to come and visit us. Let us pray. O Lord, we bow again before you, the great and almighty God of heavens and the earth, the one who has given us life and breath and health and strength. All that we have comes as a gift from you. All that we are is because of you. Lord, if there's any success that we've ever had, it's because you have given us blessing upon blessing. We thank you, Lord, that we live in such a peaceful and prosperous land. We thank you, Lord, that we have been shown mercy, not only in physical and temporal matters, but you've poured out spiritual blessings upon us. We thank you that we live in a country where the gospel can be faithfully and without fear of persecution, the gospel can be preached. We thank you for those who've gone before us, who fought for freedom here, and those who have put their lives on the line to maintain freedom here and abroad. We thank you, Lord, for living in a country where, by and large, we have stability and protection and safety. Lord, we pray that this would continue. We pray for our upcoming elections, that you would raise up across this land leaders of principle, leaders who fear you, who bend the knee before Christ. Father, we do pray for the country of Haiti and Jamaica and Cuba today, and for the Bahamas, as it seems that these four countries are under the eye of this storm as it approaches. Lord, we pray you would have mercy. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would spare those who are in the path of this storm. And Lord, we pray for those who will be caught up in the midst of it, that they would call on the living God while there is still time. We pray for this church, that you would continue to build it, Lord. We thank you for all who are here, and pray you give us wisdom and love for our neighbors all throughout this town that we meet, that we would have a burden upon our hearts for those who are still outside of the promises of God. And now, Lord, today we pray you would instruct us and teach us, that we would leave this place with a greater desire to live for the honor of our great God and Savior. Help me, your servant, that there would be nothing in me as I preach your word that would cause anyone to stumble except for the cross of Christ. Lord, I pray you would bring us closer to you today. Draw us into your presence. Visit us in this holy hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of all of the phrases that are in the Lord's Prayer, I would suggest to you that this one, Hallowed Be Thy Name, is probably the least meaningful to the most people. That is, I have a hunch that for what we have here, one of the most memorized passages in the Bible, that the majority of people who recite it don't even think about what they're saying when they say, hallowed be thy name. For countless people on a Sunday morning across the English-speaking world today, they might as well be reciting some foreign phrase. Even for the sincere, honest, humble Christian, if you were to ask them, what do you mean by that? Hallowed be thy name. They would probably have a hard time explaining it. And if they did answer, they might say something like, well, I think it means may your name be hallowed. Okay, well, what does that mean? Why is it important for us to take time to consider particularly these words? How can you get a whole sermon from one little phrase? Well, two reasons for taking the time to think about this today. One is because the Lord Jesus has just warned us against empty prayers. That is just before that in verse 7. You see that where he says, don't be like the pagans and their empty phrases, meaningless prayers or vain words, thoughtless phrases. That is, don't pray in a way where you're not thinking about the words you say. So then as Christ here teaches us to pray meaningfully, we should know the meaning of the words we're saying. Secondly, why should we take time to consider this? Well, because this is the very first thing that we're instructed to pray for. Jesus places it up front, right off the top. It puts everything else in perspective. It's the first thing after the introduction, our Father in heaven. The very first thing we ask for, the very first thing we're to pray about is not concerning ourselves. The very first thing which we should have on our mind is God-directed. It's God-word. Our thoughts are directed to the glory and honor of God himself. I have 3 points for you to consider today. They're on the back side of your insert if you'd like to follow along. First of all, what's so important about God's name? And what does it mean to hallow God's name? And what does this have to do with you today? That third point is where teaching moves to preaching, that is, with the application of the truth to our hearts, where the truth of God calls for a response. So first of all, what is so important about God's name? Perhaps it's helpful to start off by thinking about the importance of your name. You know what it's like when you were a kid and you were playing with other kids in the neighborhood and they made a silly rhyme out of your name, or a joke out of your name. It was hurtful to you because your name represents you. I can remember kids, I was called Ricky as a kid. I remember kids saying, Ricky, Ticky, Tavi. You know what it's like when you had a substitute teacher and they slaughtered your name in class, mispronouncing it when they took attendance, and everyone giggles and laughs because it's a slight against you, right? Or those of you who've gone through graduation ceremony, especially if you have a name that can be easily mispronounced, how hurtful that is. After all this work, and they mispronounce my name? Or your name left out completely? That happened as we went up for our son's graduation in Chattanooga this past May. One student, just a couple people before our son Daniel, the person reading the names just skipped over his name, and he walked across the stage without them reading his name. Really? After all that work? I think right after I moved with our family to Michigan back in 1998 as a church planting work there, we received some people as charter members. I think I slaughtered 3 of the family names there. It was Dutch country, and there are all these double-voweled names, you know. And I know I mispronounced some of them. I still feel bad to this day. Your name represents you, right? It's intimately tied to you. If someone mispronounces your name, it's a slight against you. If someone makes an insulting joke or an innuendo using your name, it's an insult against you. If your name were splattered with graffiti all over the place, it's an offense against you. In fact, how your name is spoken indicates the speaker's attitude towards you, right? I mean, if someone says your name in a sarcastic way, why don't you give it to Eric? Okay? I mean, you see, the name is tied to you. There's sarcasm against you because your name represents you. If your name is said lovingly, it shows love. Oh, Eric. You see how you can say someone's name with love or short and angry. I remember hearing that as a student. Eric. Actually, it's more Ricky. Because your name is intimately tied to you. For those of you who own your own business or have owned your own business, you know how important the reputation of your business name is, the success of your company. You work hard to maintain your company's good name in a community. If a company's name becomes synonymous with trouble or scandal or anything negative, it can seriously affect public opinion and sales. It's all very current in the news today. You think of Wells Fargo, how their name has become synonymous with mistreatment of people's accounts. Roger Ailes, the former Fox News chairman, was he president? His alma mater is removing his name from their campus newsroom. Ohio University, following the scandal at Fox News and the allegations against him. I remember Costa Cruise Lines, when they had two disasters right after another, a fire off the coast of East Africa, and then when that Costa Concordia hit the reef off of Tuscany, there was great discussion about whether the Costa Cruise Line would last because of the name. Under the ownership of Carnival, but they were really considering changing. And I remember hearing a woman at an airport one time sitting near me talking about going on a cruise, and she said, oh yeah, but I'd never go on a Costa cruise line. Never, because of the name. Again, the reputation of the name stands for the company or the person itself. They may need to rename some churches even, when they go through scandals. Much like ValueJet renamed itself AirTran. You might remember that after the ValueJet crash out here in the Everglades. In business, the reputation of the name equals the reputation of the business. It really does matter. And so in like manner, but even more so, the living God is intimately tied to his name. Because God reveals who he is through his names. He uses various names for himself to teach us of his character and his attributes. Just as your name sets you apart from every other person, so God's name sets him apart from every other being. He is known, you might say, through his names. In fact, there's dozens and dozens of names that God uses to reveal himself in the scriptures, and each one describes or reveals something of God's nature. There's the word Elohim in the Bible, God the Supreme or Majestic Creator. There's El Shaddai, God the Almighty. There's Jehovah, which means the Lord. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our Provider. Adonai, the Lord of Lords. Or Yahweh, the God who is the God of life. Even Father in heaven, as we saw last week. The Lord reveals himself in a powerful and yet tender image when he says that he is our Father, something that everyone can relate to. God reveals himself through his names. He's known through his names. We relate to him by knowing his names. But God's name is more than just revelation. The name of the Lord is tied to his essence or to his being. You see, when the Bible says that we're to call on the name of the Lord, or everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, it means to cry or to call out to God himself. When the Bible says in Psalm 20, may the name of the God of Jacob protect you, It means may God himself protect you. When Proverbs 18 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run to it and are safe. It means that God himself is a strong tower, and we're to fly to him for safety. Why is God's name so important? Well, because it's what he uses to reveal who he is to a lost humanity. His names are given to us that we may know him and call on him. So secondly today, what does it mean to hallow God's name? When we pray, hallowed be your name. What exactly are we praying for there? Well, the word hallow comes from the verb hagiazo, which means to make holy or to sanctify, to set apart from common or ordinary use. To set apart from common or ordinary use. Though hallow is a much older English word, we still use it occasionally, right? We talk about in some historic schools, these hallowed halls, right? You've heard that phrase before. Or you refer to a particular land as hallowed ground or a particular piece of land. There was a dispute raging several years ago in Princeton, New Jersey, because Princeton University wanted to build new faculty housing right next to the site of the historic Battle of Princeton, where George Washington won his first battle against the British. Opponents of the project said that the housing project was too close to hallowed ground. To the hallowed ground of the battlefield. Well, making it a little closer to home, you think of the hallowed ground of a cemetery in any community. There are certain things you can do and that you just don't do in a cemetery, right? Whether it's a cemetery in Florida or the Arlington National Cemetery, you don't play football among the tombstones, right? It's hallowed ground. You don't hold a party in a cemetery. You respect it. You revere it. It's hallowed ground or holy ground. That is, you treat it differently. You treat it differently. It's not the same as other pieces of land. It's set apart for a special purpose. Well, so to hallow God's name, hallowed be your name, is to set apart God's name for a holy or special use, to consider his name as different. It's not to be used like other names. It's not to be bantered about like some trivial matter. Because as we said, his name represents him. So to hallow God's name is to hallow him. That is to set apart as special his name, is to set him apart. To revere God's name is to revere him. We worship the name of the Lord, it's to worship him. It's actually the positive side of the third commandment in the Ten Commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your in vain. That's the negative side. The positive side is you shall hallow the name of the Lord your God. What are we praying for then when we pray, hallowed be your name? We're praying that God's person, his identity, his being, his character, his reputation would be hallowed. It would be revered and honored. So what we're saying in that first phrase is, Lord, may you be honored and respected and hallowed. As James Boyce put it so helpfully, combining the word hallow with its place at the forefront of the prayer, he says, we might rephrase it this way, my Father in heaven, my first desire is that in everything you might have the preeminence. My Father in heaven, my first desire, my chief desire is that in everything you might have priority, you might have preeminence. It's what Peter instructs in 1 Peter 3:15. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So what does it mean to hallow God's name? Well, it means to prize him, to esteem him above all things, to see him as the pearl of great price, worth giving everything up for, to consider him as the greatest treasure of all, to adore him first, to seek his glory as the chief goal in all of life, that everything else that tantalizes our eyes or tempts our souls would be put in perspective with the greatness and majesty and wonder of our great, almighty, loving God. Well, thirdly, what does this have to do with you today? Well, if this is God's instruction of how we are to pray and what we're to pray for, we're not supposed to mutter just a little wish. Well, I sure hope your name is hallowed today. No, this is a prayer that in our lives and in the world around us, that the honor and glory and reputation and fame of the living God himself would be distinguished. That is, it would be prized and revered and magnified. That's the first thing. That the reputation and fame of God would be set apart, magnified, revered, and prized. And then secondly, not only that we would pray for this, but that we would work so as to see it happen out of love for God, that our chief goal, our chief aim would be to bring reverence and honor to the name of the Lord. That is, to honor God himself as we live our lives before a watching world. And so that principle, that our lives would honor God, that principle orders all our other prayers. What we ask for, what we plead God for, what we desire, is all in light of God's honor. For example, later, when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. This is based on the fact that we desire that the name of the Lord be honored in us. That's why we don't want to be led into temptation. Because we don't want God's name to be defamed in our lives. That's based on the fact that we desire the name of the Lord to be honored in us, that nothing would lead us into sin against God and therefore sully the name of the Lord or cause his reputation to be diminished. There's a very vivid example of this in the scriptures, and we'll be getting to this in a few weeks in the life of David. Remember when King David was finally confronted by Nathan the prophet because of his sin with Bathsheba and then killing Uriah to cover it up? In 2 Samuel 12, Nathan the prophet tells David that parable about the rich man who needed a lamb for his guest who came, and he took the poor man's lamb. And David is drawn in. He doesn't see the meaning of this parable. He thinks it's a real event until Nathan says, "Thou art the man. You are the man." And David readily admits, "I have sinned." Nathan comforts him that the Lord has taken away his sin, but that there would be serious consequences. Why? Why would there be serious consequences? Well, it's because the honor of the Lord's name was so polluted. He says, "You have scorned. You have caused scorn for the name of the Lord." Or as the NIV says, "Because by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt." You see, in praying for the honor and reputation of God's name, in praying, "Hallowed be thy name," we are necessarily praying for ourselves that we would strive for that in our own lives. Because as Christians, we bear his name, right? We bear the name of Christ as a Christian. We carry his reputation with us. And you know that to be true. That's why the world is justified when you hear people say, "I can't believe she did that. She calls herself a Christian." Because we bear the name of Christ. Or imagine him saying something like that. "He's such a churchgoer." God's reputation and character are at stake as people see our lives out in front of a watching world. So in our minds, as we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," there should be the thought and prayer that we would not negatively impact the honor and reputation of the Lord. Well, so thirdly, how do we do that positively? How do we hallow God's name? How do we strive for the esteem and fame and honor of God to be greater? Well, I'll give you several ways, and you can go home and improve on the sermon, as I often say. That is to go home and think of more ways that you can esteem and honor God. How do you do that positively? Well, you do it verbally by giving credit where credit is due. That is by giving glory and honor where honor is due. That is by acknowledging Him as the Creator, by thanking Him for His blessings, by pointing people to Him as the giver of your gifts and abilities. You don't have to do it, you know, in a way that makes people feel uncomfortable. It's all of the Lord. It's God's goodness to me. By acknowledging Him as the Creator, by thanking Him as your blessings, by pointing to Him as the giver of your gifts and abilities, in order that He has the honor He deserves, instead of the profanity that often comes with His name. How can you hallow God's name? Well, secondly, by doing what's right and good in a dark world. That is, by being light and salt. In fact, Jesus said this is what you're called to do. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and do what? And glorify or give glory to your Father who's in heaven. That they would look at you and what you do out in a world that usually lives for itself, that they would see your servant's heart and say, wow, what makes them tick? Why do they do that? And then they find out that you are a servant of the Lord's. You see, when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we're asking God that we would act in such a way that others would act in such a way that we would increase people's reverence for God. So by praying, hallowed be your name, we're asking that God would make us holy and loving and generous and good and rich in good works, and thereby cause others to glorify His name or hallow His name. So how do we do this positively? Verbally giving honor to Him, by doing what is right and good and loving and generous before a watching world. And then thirdly, by praying, hallowed be your name, we're asking God to help us to grow in a knowledge of Him, that we would trust Him more, that we and others would trust Him more, that we would be more zealous to worship Him, that we would grow in love for Him and His Word, that we would weep over the things that cause Him to weep, that we would turn from the things that so shamefully dishonor His name, that He would be our best thought by day or by night, that we would walk with Him and abide with Him, that He would be our delight, our battle shield. He would be first in our heart, our treasure and our delight. And then lastly, how do we hallow His name in a positive way? It's by praying, hallowed be your name. We're praying that the name of the Lord Jesus, the only name given on earth by which men and women and boys and girls may be saved, that the name of the Lord Jesus would be heralded, announced, that others would celebrate His praise and know His grace and His forgiveness. But you know, even that will be of no interest to you if you have not come to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. That is, if you have not believed Him, that He died on the cross for sinners like us who have not hallowed His name. It's my privilege today to invite you to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, to turn to Him and believe that He died as a substitute on the cross and rose again from the dead. And without Him you have no hope, but with Him you have everything. One day you will come before His throne when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that name which is above every name, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise be to God. He has brought us to know His name already. Oh, may the Lord use us and what's beginning here in this little church, that we would draw others to that matchless name, the name that is above every name, the name that opens all the blessings of heaven, the forgiveness of our sins, and the hope of the resurrection. Praise be to God for the indescribable gift of His Son. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we bow before you today with thanksgiving that you've had mercy on us. Lord, your name is often the object of scorn and contempt. Much like when Jesus was mocked and ridiculed on the cross. Oh Lord, your fame and reputation is at stake in each one of us today. May we walk with you this week in such a way that it would bring honor and respect to the name of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, may you use what's beginning here at Christ the King Church to the honor and fame of our glorious God and Savior. Lord, use us to bring the gospel to this place, to this city, to our neighborhoods. And Lord, bless to that end our offering today. Use these tithes and offerings to build your church and to bring honor to the name of Christ here and around the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.